I'm going to give you the mystery of the three measures. I'm going to show you why these three measures make up a hundredfold mantle. And he said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to understand how to access invisible things, how to partake of invisible substance becomes so tangible and so real that's greater than anything that's visible. How to access an invisible fullness that becomes more real than any pleasure you could have in this earth. That river right there far exceeds any single pleasure I've had in my entire lifetime. And yet it's invisible. And yet had I not gone the tree of life, I wouldn't even seen it tonight. But it's there, it's real, it's ours, and it's opening now. That's the same fountain that issued out of the sanctuary, by the way. Ezekiel 47 starts flowing. Bring life to the world. It's going to bring evangelism to the world. Look at verse 16. Blessed are your eyes that see. Put your hand over your heart. Say, blessed is the eyes of my heart that see. Blessed is the hearing of my ears that hear. He's not just talking about you hearing. He's talking about you hearing. That's pretty deep, isn't it? It's the same thing with your eyes. He's not talking about seeing with these eyes or hearing with these ears. Listen, there are people you could preach to and they cannot hear what you're saying. Everyone heard with a natural ear the words, but they did not understand because they could not hear. Their ears were not open to the sound of revelation. So they couldn't understand by revelation. The ear gates were not of the spirit man, were not open to receive the revelation. He said, blessed are your eyes and your ears to hear. If you cannot hear these words, you won't partake of it. You cannot see the kingdom of God, you won't partake of it. He's not talking about natural hearing or natural seeing. Amen. Verse 23, he that receives seed, that's the word of God. That word is going to be sown into good ground. You are the ground it's sown in. How is your ground? How is your ground? Is it cracked and dry? There's not much going to grow. Is there any sunlight in there? Saturate the seed. And he that heareth the word understandeth it. We know you put them all together. Put Mark, Matthew, and Luke together. It's hear the word of the kingdom. Receive the word of the kingdom. Understand the word of the kingdom. And keep. Not going to work if you don't keep it. You're going to have to keep it. You have to learn to get positioned with it. Don't let it go. There's an enemy, very skilled, to come and take it. He wants to take that. The word is the anchor that's going to anchor you into the kingdom. He wants to pull that anchor up so he can keep tossing you around. And he says, some will bring forth 30, some 60, some 100. I want 100, full measure, anointing without measure. He gives you something here. Verse 33, he said, another parable spake he unto them. He said, the kingdom of heaven. Because this whole chapter is about the operation of the word of God. The sower sowed the word. The Father sowed the word. He sowed Christ. He sowed Christ into the human race. He was the word. He sowed him in. Amen. And he said, the kingdom of heaven, and he's talking about the operation of his word, and he gives you all these different parables around this word. One with a mustard seed. And this one is the one I want to get to tonight. And why? Amen. So another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, or this word is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and she hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole, say the whole, was leaven. Now, She took and hid in. This woman is the proverbial nine woman. She's mixing. She's doing the mixing. Amen. It's a woman of wisdom. She's doing the mixing. And she's taken very distinct three measures. I'm going to add them to the word of Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The word that was sown when you were born again. She's going to add these measures into your promise. She's going to add these measures into your destiny. There are certain measures that are going to do certain things for you, but these three measures will, from what I presently understand and what I have been shown by the Spirit of the Lord, will produce a hundredfold glory. Now, he had told me this several weeks ago, but he showed me why Sunday morning they produced the hundredfold glory. And so he'd been working these measures for quite some time. If you know what's going on and you're in touch and in tune and in the frequency, he's been laying these measures in. Measure number one, the rest. Why? Because it takes a lot to get you still. It takes a lot to get your capacities for Ishmael out of you. It takes a lot to get your capacities of human sufficiency put down. The greater the capacity, the more it needs to be put down. But he gave us a gift in this journey. And upon this journey, he gave us this grace called the Lily's Grace that has been outstandingly phenomenal. And it's amazing beauty, but more importantly, it's power to put human sufficiency down and move into a stillness that only heaven can create. But I'm going to give you the three, and then I'm going to tell you why they make up the hundredfold mantle. Amen? Second one is, of course, the Father's love. And that's an ongoing pursuit and a glorious, amazing love. Amen? And thirdly, is now this final measure that's been seriously opening up now over the last probably 2 months of this abundant life that he's given us. When I say tree of life, I mean tree of life, river of life, bread of life, the life, Christ, the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he's the life, and it manifests in different ways. There's a lot of fullness there. So whenever time your faith opens a realm, you know it's yours, you know what it's like, you know what it feels like, you can go after it because you have a pathway for it. These three measures, when they start operating, they're going to meet the Word of God, the Christ in you, and there's going to be a leavening effect that comes out, coming out of the promise, coming out of the future, but that leavening effect is what we're looking for, because that leavening effect is where the kingdom multiplies and flourishes. It rises and breaks out far beyond where it was. Amen? That's what we're looking for. And when he spoke to me about this, he goes, I want to tell you why these three distinct measures produce hundredfold faith, hundredfold glory, hundredfold encounter. And he started with the rest. When you're born again, you have immediate access to what's called the believer's anointing. Say the believer's anointing. You can lay hands on the sick. You know, I was 2 or 3 weeks old in the Lord. I was getting people baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying for them as much as I knew I would do. You can function with all of your dysfunction. I'll say that again. You can function full of dysfunction. And God will do things for you. God will move through you. God will operate through you. You can get into the ministry with dysfunction. So if you're dysfunctional, God doesn't look at your dysfunction when he calls you. He just calls you. That's why people can get called and God will use them. And then their dysfunction will manifest, and people are like, how can God do that with that? Well, how come he does it with you? Because there's a certain level with God that he'll work with you because he loves you. If he didn't use dysfunctional people, he wouldn't have that many people to work with. Just because he uses you in dysfunction doesn't mean that he approves of what you're doing. Okay? And so what happens, sometimes certain people can get hungry or find certain pathways into God, and they can access some realms of glory when they're full of dysfunction. And they can pull heaven down sometime. And I mean, they can draw crowds and pull heaven down, or they'll have certain gift healings, miracles, or dynamic prophetic ministry, and people like the flock to that kind of thing. I get that. I understand that. But they've still got a lot of dysfunction. And it doesn't mean just because all that's flowing that God's approving. God approves because he gives certain time frames for your growth and development. Amen? So he wants you to grow while the anointing's growing. He don't want just the anointing to grow and not you. Amen? He'll see to it that you'll grow while the anointing's growing. Some grow quicker than others. Some learn faster than others. Some are more hard-headed than others. In the flesh, you can be hard-headed, but when you get in the spirit, you can be full of compassion, mercy, and love. And it's like, you can be two people. You can be totally hard-headed, dysfunctional, hard-headed in the flesh, but you get an anointing all of a sudden, you're Jesus, you know. You're Christ manifested. And it's like, and then when that anointing lives, you go back to the old man. You see that? You're always going to be in measure when you're operating like that. No matter how much you want, no matter how much you do, no matter how much you fast, pray, you'll still stand in a position of measure because the inner man and the character's not growing with the anointing. The strongholds are not being toppled, and so the anointing. So what people do sometimes, instead of change, they just learn to build off of their anointing, and they take it out. So let's say they take a 30-fold anointing. Do you understand 30, 60, 100-fold? It's the impact that the kingdom is having upon you, whether it's 1 or 1 million people. It's having the same impact, and that impact will always be leveled. In other words, when you're 30-fold, as far as you can take people is this ceiling right here. But when you get in 100, you can take them up there. Amen? It's the impact your ministry and the anointing that's on your life will bring to people. It doesn't matter how polished it is or how large it is, north, south, east, and west, horizontal. It's only going to take them as far as you've allowed God to take you. And then you get this other realm, this one where God uses men like Moses, and he'll use you in an international stage, but more than international stage, he'll use you in the realm of his deep glory and power and demonstration. To be utilized in that kind of measure or 100-fold, or to have your gift on your life move to that kind of level, that kind of impact, it's going to have to require that all of our sufficiency put down. The higher the calling, the more sufficiency has to be put down. More of God, the less of us. We decrease, he increases. The more he increases requires a decreasing of our old man, and especially our capacity to help him out. Our capacity to get in the way. Sometime he'll wink at it. Sometime he knows if that's all he's ever going to get from you and no more, he's going to take that and let you just run. But you're always going to be mixing stuff with it. You're going to be mixing you in the anointing. It's not an easy life to live that way. People who receive from it have no idea, but do you understand what I'm saying? And so the rest, or the grace in the higher realms, the reason why this is so important, the 100-fold, because what it does, it brings human capacity to a standstill, human sufficiency to a standstill. It brings the soul and its dominion over the spirit. It dethrones it from the operation of God in your life. And to have the soul dethroned from the operation of God in your life on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis is not an easy thing to do. It requires you be very intertwined into Him. Because if you're not interwoven into Him, the soul will regain its capacity and its dominion over your spirit. And it will take charge certain parts of your life. And there'll be a mixture. You see that? In the higher realms, you don't get that luxury. The soul has to constantly be put down until it dies. But there's a realm in God that's already finished where, come unto me to labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Say, I'll give you rest. He that entereth into my rest ceases from his own works. There's a realm where we cease from our works. There's a realm where God called us to stop trying to build something. Just stop. I got a lot of that. I know you can do that. But that's not what I want from you. I want you to cease from everything. I want you to find something. That wasn't easy to do. Especially when you don't know what you're looking for. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Amen. To do that, that party has to be put down. That is a major, major, major milestone in anyone's life that can begin entering into His rest on a daily basis. And in this journey, He gave us a gift to help us beyond gifts. I call it the Lily's Grace. I can't say enough about it. Because it is the perfection of grace. And when you move into that garden and you move into that perfection, it has a power to dethrone the old man. If you're not doing that, you're missing something so valuable. Because it can dethrone on a daily basis and keep your soul from rising against you and start moving you into a higher dimension of God, into a higher place in God, a higher level of maturity of God, getting you ready for a higher anointing. Amen? And when God can get you situated there daily, that's a measure that gets added to the operation of Christ in you. And it's getting you ready for the glory. Be still and know that I am God. For in the high realms of God, no flesh can glory in my presence. No flesh. It has to be put down. And Lily's grace helps that. It's a gift to help it. You don't have to do that. Don't think you're going to do it in your own strength. You cannot. You need to get where it is, learn to dwell there. It'll do it for you. Amen. You see how that works with hundredfold? See how hundredfold flesh can inherit the glory of God. So flesh has to be put down. So the more of that grace that's working in us, the more that measure is going to release through us. Amen. Second, Father's love. This is some deep stuff I'm talking about. That's going to open up the mystery of the kingdom of God. So when you see the kingdom manifesting in fullness, you'll know why. Amen. God just didn't want to drop it from the sky. He wants you to understand how it works. Amen. If He drops it from the sky, I'm not sure He'll do that tomorrow. If I have to wait for it to rain, what happens when there's a sunny day with no rain? But if I know how to find water, like Isaac did when it wouldn't rain, he knew where to find the water. What does the Father's love have to do with a hundredfold? The hundredfold glory, you can write this down, belongs to the full age. It belongs to the arena of joint heirship. I'm just pointing you in that direction. I'm not asking you to go there tonight. I'm just throwing it out there. That's what the Lord did. He did it. He goes, listen, some's going to bring 30, some 60, some 100. He just left a wide open field. He doesn't choose the hundredfold. You do. He gave the full capacity. It's all here. It's all here. You decide. The higher you get, the more glorious it is. The more glorious it is, the less the enemy has against you. Because the higher you get, he starts losing more and more hold that enables you to be free of the kingdom of God. So what does the Father's love, I'm talking about dwelling in the Father, in the position of reconciliation. in the right hand of God, the stuff we've taught, John 14, 15, 16, 17. What does that love have to do with 100-fold? Because that love, when you encounter it on a regular basis, will not leave you as an orphan. The first thing that love wants to do is to remove the orphan, the spiritually orphan, dysfunctional nature from you. Whether you're loved from a parent or not, it's not enough. You could have grown up all in love and have a very healthy soul, but we were still spiritually orphaned at birth. And it has a spiritual effect. That's why he said, our Father, which art in heaven. It's the day God becomes true Father, and the love begins the deliverance from the orphan spirit. Why? Because the orphan cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Other than, I won't say it like that, you do inherit the kingdom, you inherit the capacity, the orphan can't inherit joint heirship. I'll say it like that. The hundredfold belongs to arena, whether it's wealth, anointing, power, glory, belongs to an arena of joint heirship. It's a maturity to get there. It's a journey to get there. It's not an anointing that allows you to be who you want to be and to show up with the anointing. It's anointing where you grow with it. Not from, I'll show up in the anointing, do my thing, and see you later. I know a couple people that their whole life is about them, and it's always going to be about them. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. Thank God it's a 30-fold operation. It's a glorious thing. It's just not the compass God's setting for us. Because God's compass are going to require us transform along the way. We don't get to be the same. We change. Because the love of the Father doesn't leave us as orphans. Why? Because it's getting us ready for full-age sonship that can anoint us for joint heirship. God will not anoint you with joint heirship as an orphan. God will anoint you. He just won't anoint you with the glories of joint heirship. This marks the difference. And that's why the love of the Father, when that measure's added, it's going to remove the orphan to get you ready for hundredfold. You see how the measures all working together? See how they get you ready for it, for the leavening factor. See it? Do you want to be left as an orphan? Why all the transformation? Because it's getting ready as for joint heirship. Amen? God's going to end the age with a bang. And he's going to get his people ready for this. And these measures are going to start increasing and multiplying. The love is going to grow up in us and multiply. The rest is growing up in us, growing in us and multiplying. See that? See how they have intricately what they have to do with the hundredfold? The orphan always remains a child, whether he's 50-year-old child, 40-year-old child. So would you, having a 40-year-old child, give them something that a full-aged 40-year-old adult would be responsible for? No, what would they do with it? They'll do what orphans do. They'll wreck it. That's what they do. That's why you see certain men get power they're not ready for. Generally, the power ministries and the wealth ministry, you have to have this stuff together. Amen? And God wants to remove, and the Father's love does that. Amen? Now the life. The life, say the life. The life is the restoration of all things. It is the restoration of our original image. Man dwelt in a position of love and life and rest in the garden. You see it all in the garden. The garden was not a place we were to labor in. Labor did not happen till the curse. Toil did not happen. They walked in the cool of the day. They walked in the rest. They walked with God in a position of love, light, and rest. And the life was there. Man freely received the life, and the life, the light, was the covering and clothing of men. Adam and Eve were clothed with light and light. They didn't even know they were naked until they sinned. They had no clue because God's glory, His light, His life covered them. And it was a fundamental part of their image that made them who they were. It gave the value. The love brings a value. The life brings a restoration of the full image of God. Light, love, joy, pleasure, liberty, freedom. We were made for liberty and freedom. We weren't made to be in bondage. We weren't made to sit in church for 30 years and be in bondage. We were made for the freedom and the liberty and the things like tonight to drink of the river of His pleasure. To be abundantly satisfied. Man was made to be abundantly satisfied by God, not abundantly satisfied by church. We all put on the mask and say we're abundantly satisfied. We have abundant life ministries, abundant life church. But nobody really is partaking. I won't say nobody, but very few are partaking of the abundant, true, tangible life. They don't know how. But it's there. And that abundant life will bring a level of contentment and satisfaction and pleasure that the earth can't compete with. Right now, the enemy can compete big time. He competes with our youth because we haven't subjected them to this pleasure, this abundant life that's in God. When we start eating from this tree, we lose our capacity to want the world. We lose our capacity to desire the world because His life is far greater than the world. And that's what the enemy wants to shield all this. Because he says, I come to restore you to life and restore you to life abundantly. I'm bringing you back to your original mandate. I'm going to bring you back to what it was like to be clothed in life and life. When I was standing in front of the tree of life tonight, we were worshiping. I could hear the song, but I wasn't even there. Things were just coming out of that tree. Like garments were coming out and I was being clothed and another one would come out. Another one before it turned to the river. And I'm like, wow. And I started honing in how I got in the river. I started honing in the joy and the pleasure for more, forevermore. I just kept saying it and saying it. And then all of a sudden it turned into that honey river. It fuels something in you that turns something up in you. It removes death and the byproducts of death. It removes depression and heaviness and weariness and toil. It removes it and fills you with the vitality of heaven. And you can eat every day. And the Lord said, you keep eating from this tree. So he spoke to me Sunday morning. He goes, this tree is the final measure. When it opens fully, you'll see the crown. Because he said, it's the final measure. That's what he spoke to me Sunday. He goes, the tree is the final measure. When you learn to eat from it and you have all three working, you're going to see the crown. That may not mean anything to you right now, but it's everything. It's 30-something years in the waiting process, and now I know where it's at. And I'm like, oh, locked and loaded. Now, when we get these three working with the Spirit of Christ in us, it's going to leaven us into the hundredfold fullness. It's going to cause Christ to grow up in us in an unprecedented manner. And it's going to bring Father down into the earth to dwell with us here. In full manifestation of the kingdom. Because it's not I that doeth, it's the Father in us that's doing it. Your motive will be right. Your heart will be right. The presence will be authentic. The glory will be authentic. The position will be right. The kingdom will manifest. We're asking God for all of this, and people saying they just want the kingdom of God. Who's going to carry that kingdom? Who's going to be accountable for it when it shows up? Who's going to stand against the devil when he shows up? How long are they going to last with an orphan spirit carrying that kind of the glory? the knot. You know what Benny Hinn, Oral Roberts, told Benny Hinn? He told him, he said, you're the only man that I know with that kind of anointing that's lasted more than 4 years on an international level. He goes, most healing anointings, when they hit international level, will not go past 4 years. Most revivals can't make it past 4 years. Azusa, even the one in Pensacola, they don't. Why? Because the burden of it demands you serve it. And if you don't know how to take that burden off on a daily basis, it buries you. Most of the men that get used under that situation get wrecked afterwards. It's hard for them to recover. They want that glory back, but they don't know how to get there. And as they're carrying the burden, everyone's coming for the life that's flowing out of them. But they don't know how to refill. And what, you know what they do? I'll tell you what they do. What they shift it to, everything becomes a prayer line. You come and receive. Come and receive in the prayer line. They don't know how to get connected to God. It happened to a church here. Blew up big. And then it dropped out. Because everything was the prayer line. Come to the prayer line. You cannot get fed by a prayer line after your initial time. Only orphans get fed by a prayer line. I'm not saying don't come to the prayer line. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying that cannot be your bread and butter on a daily basis. You have to get connected to the King. Amen? But if we learn to eat of these three, we're going to not only manifest the kingdom, we are going to return to our original mandated image. The sons of God. Manifest in the earth, carrying the image of God, being clothed in the image, expressing the image. It won't be us that's doing it. It's the God that we're cleaving to, that we've learned to eat and drink and partake of, manifesting through us because we've learned to fill up on a daily basis. We've learned to partake on a daily basis. We've learned to eat on the run. We've learned to clothe in something other than our own self. Do you like doing things your own self way? Not very fun. After a while, you run into wall after wall after wall, and it's miserable doing things like that. It's not the way the kingdom manifests. I believe there is a restoration in this hour of not just the flow of the kingdom out of us, but the expression of the kingdom in us. That we come, our soul, our spirit, our body will come into a fullness with God. A full measure of life, love, liberty, freedom, rest. All while the kingdom's pouring out through us. Isn't that glorious? Our soul's going to come to a level with God that's out from orphan to full-age sonship on into joint heirship. Until we start getting lit up, reality lit up with the kingdom of God. It's going to be like this. You're so full that the Father starts manifesting. And all of a sudden the shadow of Peter. That shadow of Peter, Peter hadn't even paid the price for that and was already functioning on him. But it starts pouring out. The kingdom of God just starts pouring out of you. Just like Jesus said, which is easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or to get up from the wheelchair? Because in that realm, it's going to be just as easy to get someone born again and out of the wheelchair. It's no difference. Isn't that awesome? The three measures. I'm hungry. It's our life's journey for this. I want the crown. It's our call. It's everything. I want it. We're going to get it. You understand you're going to sit in the same seat that David sat in? Christ sits in. We're joint heir to that very crown, except it's perfected now in a way it would never been perfected in the earth.